myself with prayer. Everyone, Father, I yield myself at this time into your hands. May it be your message and your words that are spoken. Always take any element of flesh out of this message. Cover it if it gets in, Father. You are supreme. We love you, Father. And we know that you love us as your children. We pray all of this, Yeshua, in your great and holy name. You who have made all things possible. If you will, turn with me to Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk. You know, they call these prophets the minor prophets. They're not so minor. I mean, how can you call any of them minor? They're not minor. But we find something, and Pastor Mark is right. This message that I'm about to speak came so strong in my spirit back in, I think, February or so into March, and I had called Mark, Pastor Mark, and said, I think there's a message the Father wants me to give. I never myself personally, I'm speaking only for myself, I never want to stand up here and give a message unless I'm pretty sure he wants it spoken. It's not about me. I never want it to be about me. It's about him always. But I want to be obedient, as those of us who speak, you know, want to be obedient and give the word that we feel that he's given us in due season. And so when I saw on that board last week, Heinz Feet Don't Have Places, I don't ever text in services, but I had to text Sister Tammy. I said, that is unreal, because basically that was the message, the foundation of the message that I came to Pastor Mark with back in about February, March. Heinz Feet Don't Have Places. So in the book of Habakkuk, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1, I'm reading this out of the Holman edition. It says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, Yahweh, must I call for help and you do not listen? Or cry out to you about violence and you do not save? Why do you force me to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Strife is ongoing and conflict escalates. Can we see a little bit of this going on at this time in our beloved nation? Are they echoes in our time at the present of what he was talking about, what he was faced with, what he was seeing? The prophets were always asked that question, what do you see? What do you see? Well, what do we see, dear treasured ones? What do we see, even in our time and age? It is a replay of what this prophet was looking at. But strife is ongoing and conflict escalates. This is why the law or the Torah is ineffective and justice never emerges. Does it seem even in our time that what is going on in our nation and with some individuals have committed certain, let's say, crimes or done certain things, does it seem like justice is never going to be done? It's never going to arrive? Habakkuk was dealing with this too, and he was perplexed. He was upset. He was dealing with a lot of things mentally and emotionally and spiritually. For the wicked restrict the righteous. How many have seen lately what's going on in Seattle, Washington? You're tracking the news. A lot of you are. I know that. There again, it's like it's a replay of what this great prophet was looking at. And I say again, just because he didn't have but maybe two or three, four pages in that word, that holy word, his words are just as important as Jeremiah's, Ezekiel's, or Isaiah, those who got a lot more print. The minor prophets are not so minor. You know, Habakkuk was having a hard time. It's been said, when you can't track the Lord's moves, then you turn and trust his heart, right? Do we find ourselves, some of us, in that place at times, maybe even today, as we're in here on the Shabbat? You know, singing some of those songs, Yahweh right now is very much on his holy throne. Nothing is taking him. I know you know that. We know that. Nothing is taking him by surprise. He's got all of this covered. Now, there may be some things that happen that we won't like. It won't be pleasant, but he's got it covered. And today's message is not geared to go a certain direction. That is going to come in another time, a different venue, I don't want to speak so much nationally today about what's going on. As I said, that's going to come later. In written print, wherever the Father opens the door, I want to focus today more and bounce more off what Pastor Mark talked about last week and the real message that was given to me in February and March. I'm going to take this message in a certain direction, but I did want to take note early on when Habakkuk was talking about he saw what was happening in his beloved country of Judah. There was a lot of sin, a lot of corruption. Sounds like a repeat in modern-day America. A repeat. And he was perplexed. And then he got even more perplexed and somewhat upset and confused when he found out that Yahweh was going to use people even more wicked, those fierce Babylonians, even more wicked than what was going on in his beloved nation of Judah at the time. He couldn't wrap his mind around that. He could not track what the Father, what Yahweh was doing. Do we find ourselves there sometimes? Every one of us today, as I often say, that comes in here has a story to tell. Everybody in here today is dealing with something. As Bill Clow says, that one thing, Brother Bill, or I would say sometimes more than that one thing, it's maybe two or three things. From health issues to financial issues to relationship issues, you name it. We're all dealing with something. I know Miss Kay, it's good to see you back. She was telling me what she's been suffering with. I mean, you know, and that's not easy. That's not easy. What, you know, you've had to go through. And then you throw in this virus situation on top of that, trying to be careful and cautious, especially those of you who have health issues. So I want to say something else. Sister Nancy, we all at times are a pain in the neck. Every one of us. If anybody in here thinks that you're not, hold up your hand. We'll counsel with you after services. Every one of us at times is a pain in the neck to our mates, to our children, to each other, to the cashier at Walmart or whatever. Every one of us. I wanted to just say, Miss Nancy, Sister Nancy, that the Father calls us all and each and every one of us, and he gives us different gifts, different personalities, and he works with each one of us. Each one of us. So we love you, Roy, and we pray that the Father will step in with his powerful right hand and the healing hand of Yeshua on you, Brother Roy, and he will soon bring you out of that hospital, and he will protect your life and preserve your life and heal you of those injuries. But Habakkuk was having a problem. You know, hinds feet don't have places. I'll say again. I went home, Pastor Mark. I texted Mark last weekend. I said, I went home and I texted some of the footage on those goats and those deer like they're in Gaddy. It's like they've got suctions on their feet. I can't even stand on a 30, 40 degree hill or whatever. We can't even stand on a ladder, can we? Those goats, I saw them on a dam somewhere. The dam was like straight up. And they're standing on the side of that dam, licking the salt off from it. It's amazing. Father knows what he's doing when he creates anything, right? It's just simply amazing. Sometimes I think we've been in positions where we wish we had some suction on the bottom of our feet. Tammy, I know when you was in Israel and that happened to you, that was hinds feet don't have places. How many of you believe that the high places are great places to dwell? The mountain, great things take place on a mountaintop. What about the transfiguration of Yeshua and those three with him? What about Mount Sinai and what happened at Mount Sinai, like in Exodus and all? Great things happen on the high ground or the high places where Yahweh dwells. And that's something we're going to be talking about today. Hinds feet on high places. And Brother Tony, that word that you gave a few minutes ago, the interpretation of it, I think Kathy, you were involved. Lift your eyes to the hills from which your help comes. We lift our eyes to the hills because that's where our help comes from. That's where our strength and encouragement comes from. That is where our stability comes from. This flesh is weak. It is limited. Your flesh is weak and it's limited. We all fall so short sometimes of what we desire to be. But thankful we have that loving Father and loving Messiah who are there for us, to pick us up, to pat us on the back and say, you can do better and you will do better because I am with you. You never throw in the towel in life. You never give up. That's one thing we all loved about the Rocky movies, wasn't it? Rocky always got back on his feet. He always fought another day. He always got back on his feet. And that's what the Father wants us to do. And we're going to say something about that today. But the high ground, the mountaintop, a mountaintop experience is something special. You know, a little side point here, a little historical fact. The South, during the Civil War, they lost that war because they lost the battle at Gettysburg, that three-day battle at Gettysburg that I have been to and visited two or three times. They lost that battle at Gettysburg. Why? Because they didn't have the high ground. The Northern Army secured the high ground the first day or so, and thereby they controlled the outcome of that battle, and that was the decisive battle that decided that war, basically. Historically, most historians admit that and talk about that. And the Northern Army, they occupied the high ground, the heights, Cemetery Ridge, little round top, big round top. And those poor Southern boys, from Alabama and Texas, when they started going up that hill, and Joshua Chamberlain, his main boys, and those New York boys was on that high ground there at Little Round Top, those Alabama boys and Texas boys, they got slaughtered trying to take that high ground. And you know what? The bottom of that area, as you start to go up and ascend to a Little Round Top there at Gettysburg, you know what the low ground was called? Devil's Den. How ironic. The Southern Army, the Southern boys and men, found themselves down in the low place, down in Devil's Den. What a distinction. I think that'll preach, Sister Tammy. Pastor Mark, that will preach. Great things again happen on the high ground. You don't want to be caught and found living and existing in the low places. Because you will suffer and I will suffer. We will suffer defeat every time. In our mind, our spirit, our lives, we will have failure after failure. But we will have victory after victory as we ascend to and live on and dwell on the high ground. Hinds feet on high places, Pastor Mark, as you and I have been talking about, as you gave the great word last week. I'm always amazed, I think we all are, how the Father orchestrates things that, it's like a guy in ministry once told me, a good friend of mine in ministry several years ago, he said, you know, Terry, he says, the Father always gets what he wants 100% of the time. He's incapable of failure. He is working on each and every one of us to get exactly out of our lives what he desires. And he's going to accomplish the mission. He's going to accomplish the mission. But they lost that battle, thereby losing the war, the South did, because they were in Devil's Den, the low places, and the Northern Army had the high ground. I think, Sister Tammy, we were talking about this last week, you and I, about the Maccabees also occupied the mountain. They were on the mountaintop. I think we're seeing a pattern here. You do not want to be found in the low places. You do not want to be found in the Devil's Den. You want to be on the high ground because it's on the high ground where great things take place. Sounds simple, but it's not so simple in theory or practice. And we're talking about issues like bitterness, resentment, jealousies. We're talking about things of the spirit, things of the mind. We're talking about habits that can be in our lives. You know, I'm just going to say this. We've heard about it here before. Let's just throw this out for us men, especially maybe more so. Pornography is rampant. It is rampant. 50-60% now of pastors are on it. That is the low ground, men especially, and women. They're affected too. That is the devil's den. The Father gave me a word many years ago. If you even think about going there, my son, in that field, he says, you cannot sit at the table of demons and sit with me at the same time. That's what I received many years ago. Whatever the habit, sin in the mind, spirit, of the flesh, whatever it is, that's the low places. He wants us to dwell on the high place, the high ground, in his presence. Iron's feet on high places. He wants us to dwell with clean spirits, clean minds, clean thoughts, clean attitudes. And you read a great passage last week, Pastor Mark, on Philippians 4. That's one of my favorite passages in the epistles. Think on those things which are right, good, and true. Dwell on that. Get your mind off all this stuff that will put you in the low place, in the devil's den. Get out of that territory. Or you're going to lose not only the battle, but you could lose the war eventually. We don't belong there. The treasured ones that we are, we do not belong in devil's den. I cannot emphasize this enough. I am challenged daily by this. You are challenged daily by it. You know, the times we're living in, we're each being challenged in ways that we never dreamed. Even if you go back to last November or December, what has hit us recently with the virus? And Doug, you gave such a wonderful word on that. Again, thank you so much for that word. We're challenged also, but our nation is being torn apart. And those of us who love our country and love our people, it hurts. We're just like this great prophet. We're having to deal with that daily. Perhaps some of you have a flippant attitude about it in here that, you know, big deal. Maybe you better pray about it, because let me tell you unequivocally, this is a word from the Father. Thus saith the Father. He loves America. He planted this nation for a holy purpose, okay? Flaws and all, warts and all. It didn't just all of a sudden come together in an evolutionary manner. It was planted divinely for a great purpose. And that purpose is still playing out and is yet to be fully revealed. That's a prophetic word. But it's starting to be revealed. The Father loves the nations that he has planted. He loves his spiritual children, where Jew and Gentile dwell side by side in the assembly like we are. He loves all of his creation. I came home from the feast in 2003. Sandra and I had attended a feast site up in the Smoky Mountains in 2003. And there was a word came at me so strongly. I mean, it was planted in my heart. And little did I know, as I start to swing this message really in the direction I want to take it, I feel like the Father's given me, this word that was given to me at the feast, at the end of the feast in 2003 up in the Smokies, was in this prophet's book, chapter 3. I mean, this was given to me, and I didn't know at the time exactly what I was looking at, but I was about to find out. And, in fact, I was finding out at that time, but even more so as the years started to pass. You find it in chapter 3 of that prophet, verse 17. And, Pastor Mark, I think you read this last week. That's okay. Repetition, sometimes something, the same thing will be said three times or so in the same chapter. If Yeshua can say something three times in the same chapter, we can too, as speakers. Sometimes that's a great way to emphasize things, but it says, and you read this last week, Pastor Mark, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in Yahweh. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer, and he enables me to walk on mountain heights. Pastor Mark, I'll refer to you again, your word last week when you said, let's learn and practice more and more being grateful for all things, no matter what the circumstances. And when I stood in my kitchen this past week and saw the most beautiful corn that I've ever had, ever planted and raised. Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for introducing me to that type bark mulch garden spot, whatever. But I saw my beautiful corn and those winds. I'm saying, Father, oh man, I'm having a hard time here. Prettiest corn I've ever planted and raised. And the wind was just whipping it, you know. And, you know, I was fighting hard and I was reminding your words as I looked at my little garden spot. I was reminding your words, just be thankful. Just if it goes down, I told Sandra, I says, look, if it goes down, it goes down. It's in his hands. But I was challenged. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I was challenged because I had put my time, my work, my effort, my money into that. And then Sandra reminded me, she says, now you know and we know what a farmer, a big farmer feels like if he's got like, you know, 1,000 acre, 2,000 acre, and all of a sudden his corn all goes down. I said, you're right, honey. It hurts. It does. And it gives you more empathy even for people and individuals like a farmer. But my corn did survive about 80% of it. And I gave him thanks several times. I says, thank you, Father. Now, some of it's leaning over a little bit, but still got corn on it. He's good all the time. But I was given that word about, you know, the fig tree may not bud. You may walk out, Terry, and you won't have no cattle in the stall. You won't have this or that in your life. That was about the time from 1995. And what I'm about to tell and share is a quick testimony again. I've said it before in messages. It's not about me, and I'm not seeking a pity party. No, I hope what I'm about to say speaks to some of you in here and whoever would hear this message. I want to speak to people. I want to speak to their hearts, their minds, and their lives. From 1995 until about 2009, I had three, Sandra had three congregations pulled out from under us. That's not easy, everyone. Three different congregations for different reasons. We got disenfranchised from. I've told that story before. And then I started losing parents in death and grandparents and beloved uncles and aunts and cousins, and it started to do a number on me. A lot of suffering, a lot of sorrow had taken place from 1995. My life overall pretty much had tracked in a pretty good way up to about 1995, from the time I was born in 1953. I had a good life. A great church I was part of, born into, a close church, a close congregation, close extended family, very close extended family. And all of a sudden, all of that started to be taken away from me and Sandra. And it hurt. And I'm like a back of the prophet. I had to deal with some feelings, some emotions, maybe from a different perspective. And Miss Nancy, Sister Nancy, I don't know if you was in here when I said it, but I said, we all are a pain in the neck sometimes. Trust me on that. And you all know I'm telling you the truth. We're all or a pain in the neck at times to each other or whatever in the process of life. I always want to respect and try to that each one of us has a story to tell. You've got hurts and you've got pain. You've got suffering in your life. You've got sorrow. But I'm about to speak to this issue, even sorrow and suffering in a minute, in regards to hands, feet don't have places. But so much of my life I felt like had been wiped out. And then I found myself, it was December of 2009. Sandra's mother was nearly dead in Fort Walton Beach in the nursing home from the cancer that she had. And I had been on the phone. Sister Tammy, I don't know if you remember this. It was on Sunday around noon. I'd been on the phone to Sister Tammy having a conversation with her. I was hurting. Sandra was hurting, naturally. I remember after I hung up with Tammy, I got off the phone, got out of my vehicle to go back into the nursing home where Sandra's mother was nearly dead, as I said, with cancer. Very tough time for us. It's just like the hits just kept on coming. It was unrelenting, loss and suffering. It was just unrelenting. And so I get out of my vehicle. And I remember so clearly, I says, Father, I says, am I always going to be associated with suffering and sorrow? And I mean the words as I remember as I tell it back to you today. It's like as soon as the words escaped my lips and my mouth, I heard so strong in my spirit, well, I was. But it wasn't the three words. It was the tone on the words. Like, who do you think you are? That was how I received it. And the tone was more important to me even than what was said to me in my spirit. He wanted me to know something. And I remember, I've told this story before, but I'm telling it again because I hope and I want it to speak most of all to you in here and those who will hear it on the video or whatever. I want you to hear it and process it. It's not about me. It's designed to bless you because of the things that's going on in your life perhaps. But I remember, I literally put my hand over my mouth. I looked skyward. I looked towards the heaven. And I says, Father, I'm like Job. I've got nothing else to say. I mean, he shut my mouth big time. Sorrow and suffering. I'm sitting in my house as I direct this now to the real focus of this message. I'm sitting in my house in 07. I think it was the spring of the year. And I'm in my study, and I got a lot of books on my bookshelf. I'm not a Thomas Jefferson, but I love books. I've widely read since I was a kid. I'd pull old encyclopedias off the shelf when I was 8 years old and go through them. I don't know, it's just something I've always enjoyed, and, you know, it's just who I am. But I'm not a Thomas Jefferson, you know. He had a lot more books than I've got. Some of you probably got more books than I do, but I've got a lot of books. And I'm sitting there in 07, I think it was the spring, during a very tough time again, mainly because of the ministry that Sandra and I were in. So much going on, as I related. So much had started to be stripped out of our lives. And we were in a fight for our very survival, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We really were. So much going on. I know also I'd had a conversation that time, a good conversation or two with Brother Bill Cloud, a man that I deeply respect and love, that man. Because I knew what he'd been going through at that time in 07. But I was sitting there, and I happened to look, my eyes went up to my bookshelf at a very critical low point. And I saw that book by Hannah Hernard that said Hinds Feet in High Places. I got up out of my chair. I walked over there. I pulled that book off the shelf, and I devoured that book, devoured it. And what she covered in that book, for me at that time, personally, was tonic to my soul, tonic to my spirit. Hinds Feet on High Places. Hannah wrote, and she used the fictional character, parodied in her own life, Much Afraid. Much Afraid, the good shepherd was going to take Much Afraid from the low places to the high place. He was going to completely change her life and reorient her life by taking her out of the low places, devil's den, up to the high places. That was the only way that he could give her feet. Her feet was crooked and lame. She had crooked, lame feet, thereby Hinds Feet on High Places. This was the main passage, verse 19, that she used to write that book. It's a classic, Hinds Feet on High Places. As I said, for me personally at that time, it was turning to me. It was exactly, the Father knew exactly what I needed to read and to look at, get my face in. And I've read a lot of books over the years, but that book is still at the very top of Terry's list because of how it spoke to me. But it's also very biblical, okay? She'd been asked to go, by the way, to witness to the Jews along about 1924, and she says, Father, I don't even like the Jewish people. He says, like, well, you're going anyway. So there's a lot in that book that she covers, but Hinds Feet on High Places. And so the Father, the good shepherd, as she called him, which would have been Yeshua, was going to take her to the high places. And she was assigned on that journey from the low places to the mountaintop where he would give her a very special type experience. He was going to assign her two companions. And when those two companions were brought to her, she was dumbfounded. She was hurt. She was just shattered somewhat. The two companions were sorrow and suffering. I think I read in Isaiah 53 that we cover a lot of times at Pesach or Passover season. He had two companions assigned to him, suffering and sorrow, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Remember I said when I looked up that day, and I says, am I always going to be associated with suffering and sorrow? And I got the reply that I got, yes. He will put, like it or not, every one of us, he will put sorrow and suffering beside us at times in our life. Those will be the two companions, and we don't like them. But you know something? As Much Afraid found out, as Hannah Hernard found out that wrote the book, they're actually the two very companions that help us the most. Now, they don't stay with us on and on, okay? Because once they got to the mountaintop, their names were changed to Joy and Peace. Huh? Hannah Hernard wrote that suffering and sorrow's names, they were given a new name changed to Joy and Peace. And Much Afraid, once she made it to the mountaintop, her name was changed to Grace and Glory. I read somewhere in Revelation that he's going to give us a new name, right? Now, we don't know what that name is, but he's going to give us a new name. But they became peace, and they became joy. You won't always have sorrow and suffering beside you. I didn't always, during those years from 95 up to about 2009, 2014, I didn't just have sorrow and suffering behind me. I had a lot of joy in my life, the joy of the Holy Spirit he gave me, the Ruach, okay? And he gave me peace, shalom. And he gave me shalom, peace, and joy in situations that I knew it was nothing of the flesh. It came from the Spirit. It came from his presence of his throne room. But sorrow and suffering were a sign to Much Afraid as she made her journey up to the mountain. And most of all, sorrow and suffering was what she needed to change her and to reorient her into what he asked her and wanted her to be. When it was all over, and Much Afraid had been taken to the mountaintop, and she had the experience. And another little side point, if you read the book, if you have read the book, just when Hannah Hernard said, through the character of Much Afraid, just when Much Afraid felt that she was almost ready to get to the mountaintop, there would be a detour, or there would be a delay. And it drove her crazy. It caused a lot of, like, the prophet, it caused a lot of issues in her spirit, her mind, her thoughts, her attitudes that she had to deal with. But he always told her, when you need me, call out to me, and I will be there. And the book shows that every time she would cry out, please help me, good shepherd, he was always there. When we cry out, he is always there. Our feelings may not speak to us the truth, as Dr. Dobson says. Feelings will lie to us, but you can rest assured, based on faith, he is there with us. And Nancy, Sister Nancy, I know you know this, and I want to speak to that. He is with you. He is with Roy. And it does not matter whatever decisions he makes. Yes, he's going to keep you lifted up. He's going to keep you lifted up. But I believe, and we declare, that your husband, Roy, and our brother is going to come up out of that bed. He's going to come out of the hospital, and he's going to come home. Suffering and sorrow. But right now you're going through, Sister Nancy, naturally, you got sorrow and suffering beside you. That's okay. Remember now, those are the two companions that most of all helped Much Afraid get to her destiny. But then when she arrived, it was replaced with peace and joy. Are you tracking with me, everyone? Are you following the current of what she said in that book that's so huge and powerful? Once she got to the mountain and she was given hinds feet, she had those lame, crooked feet. They were healed. And she was equipped with good feet, beautiful feet. And she could skip all over the mountains in the high place like those goats, Pastor Mark, with her good shepherd. As he went leaping over the mountains, she went leaping with them because she'd been equipped with beautiful feet. How many remember and have read in a while Romans 10:15? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet on the mountains who bring good tidings, who bring good news. I don't know, Brother Bill, if you ever hear this, but you better love to learn feet. But if you ever hear this, Brother Bill, but you also, I remember, some of you may remember, he gave it here, as I remember a few years back. He gave also that wonderful message, Brother Bill did, on his own experience. Remember going to the mountain? He told about seeing those beautiful feet. Brother Bill gave that great message, so did want to use him as an example. He knows, in essence, what these passages are saying. Hannah Hernard, using the name Much Afraid in the book, once she got to the mountain and her name had been changed to Grace and Glory, and Suffering Sorrow's name had been changed to Peace and Joy, when it all was over and she had her hinds feet, that which the Good Shepherd had wanted to accomplish in her life had been accomplished. There were four things quickly. He asked her, the Good Shepherd, Yeshua says, what have you learned, Much Afraid, through all this? She says, there's four things I've learned. One of them is acceptance with joy, all that comes. that ties in, Pastor Mark, Brother Mark, with your word last week. Be thankful as the Jewish people are, and thank Him for all things. Even thank Him sometimes for celery sandwiches. Because celery sandwiches might give you a little bit of energy that a candy bar won't give you. But hey, listen, I can track with you, Pastor Mark. I can't eat tomatoes. I cannot eat a ripe tomato. I grow them, but I can't eat them. I'm with you on that. So I think the Father, He loves us. He understands there's just a few things some of us cannot eat or won't eat. But she said, I've learned, Good Shepherd, that no matter what happens, I will accept it with joy. And there again, Sister Nancy, I hope you don't mind me saying this, you know, this is not an easy time for you. To say otherwise would be pretty foolish. We hurt, and we have a right to hurt at times. That's life, and the Father understands that, and He allows for that. But I know right now you're doing your best to accept with a certain amount of joy and praise, as you said, what has happened to your beloved husband. But we all need to learn that no matter what happens in our life, like Much Afraid did, or Hannah Hernard, who wrote the book, we need to learn to accept all things with joy. Because when we do that, when I do that, when you do that, things begin to change in the atmosphere. Things begin to change in your life. The second thing she says she learned was that, I've learned, Good Shepherd, she told him, to bear all things in love. To bear all things in love. Think about what I'm reading to you out of her book. There is no force superior in the universe to all creation than love. The one verse says, Elohim, or God, is love. That about says it all. And He gave His one, what? And only Son, Brother Mark Morgan, for what? He gave His one and only Son for mankind. And you know what always amazes me when we cover some of this stuff around the Passover, Pesach season? Is that while we and they were all yet sinners, He died for them. That's, wrap your mind around that sometimes more than what we do. He didn't do it for His friends. He didn't do it for those that He loved in His inner circle. He did it for sinners. And it's been said also, I think you'll agree with this. It's been said that the nails or the spikes did not hold Him to that tree or that stake. It was His love. Now you tell me what is greater in our known existence than the force of love. The message I gave, I don't know, about a year and a half ago here, Jensen Franklin wrote the book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. That, my brothers and sisters, now is a challenge for each of us. Love like you've never been hurt. I can't take credit for that because I don't want to plagiarize in any way. That's Jensen Franklin wrote the book and came out with that. There's no force like love. Hannah Hernard said, through the character of Much Afraid, Good Shepherd, I've learned to bear all things in love. The third thing she said that she learned, she said, you never saw me in my weaknesses, in my limitations, with my crooked, lame feet, all that I am, you never saw me or treated me like I was poor, Much Afraid. You always saw me as to what I would be, as what I could become, what you would turn me into, what you would create in me. She says, I thank you because you never, she said, you always treated me, Good Shepherd, like a queen. Think about that, everyone. We need that encouragement because if you're not dealing with it today, in some way, form, or fashion, maybe this week, you will step out into your life, whatever you're doing, each one of us, maybe in different ways, and you will need to be reassured with that same word when you really mess up and when you really make some big mistakes or make some faulty decisions or whatever. When you really mess some things up in your life, you better know that you will need to hear that word. He does not see me where I'm at right now. He sees me where I will one day be, where I will one day be taken by the Good Shepherd and by the Father that we can call Abba. You know, we get into this thing, and I'm going to say it. We get into this thing about how to pronounce His name. Up to a point, that's okay? I don't have a problem with that. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahuwah. But I love the fact, I've long loved the fact that I can call him Abba. He's my daddy. When my physical father died in 97, I knew my real father. He let me know, Terry, my son, I'd shout, I am your real father. I am your real father. And I remember that word, I'm going to say this. I remember the word, Brother Steve Hostetler right here, when you told me you heard the audible voice of that son of yours, I'm his father. I've never forgotten that. You can call him Abba. We can call him Abba because that is what he is to us. I said before, and I'll say it again, and I will say it as long as I have breath in his lungs and words in my mouth to form come out for him. I can preach, and we'll preach about his love all day long because I've lived it. I've experienced it. After the bitter failures and disappointments and the sin in my life, and I think you can say the same thing, we can speak of his love. A good, good father all day long. And that's why I'm much afraid what was extolled in the book, the goodness of her good shepherd. The fourth thing that she learned, she said that she learned that every circumstance, no matter how bad, ugly, can be transformed by love, by forgiveness, and by obedience to Abba's will. And that is another thing that Hannah Hernard, the author, referred to in the book was that every time she stepped forward in obedience to the Father's will, good things happened. Great things happened. Everyone, a lady told me one time, she says, Terry, I have learned that truly obedience leads to real power. If we are not obedient in any way, form, or fashion to the Father's will, you will soon catch it. I won't have to come tell you. Pastor Mark won't have to come tell you. You will realize all of a sudden the power is not there because obedience is the highest form of worship. And you think it's easy for me daily, by the minute, by the hour sometimes, or what's going on in my life to be fully obedient to his will? That's not easy. It's a challenge. It will remain a challenge. The Apostle Paul says there's two natures in me. We know that. He says what I want to do and want to say I don't do sometimes. But the Father didn't throw the Apostle Paul away. He won't throw us away, but we do get better. Remember when he took Hannah Hernard, much afraid, to the mountaintop, she got a whole lot better. She reached her destiny. She got her hind feet on high places where she could go skipping over the mountains of the high places with her Savior, with her good shepherd. He will get us there. We need to believe that and accept that. And we need to know that our joy and suffering at times will be translated into joy and peace. As I said right now, it is not a time. Today is not a time to go there. I could say, and you could say, we all could say so very much right now about what is going on in our nation. Even today, you think Lucedale's not being touched by all this? We've got a march planned today in this town in case some of you didn't know it. What will come out of it? We'll know by nightfall, or we'll know by tomorrow, okay? We pray that things go okay. I made a comment, if I may be permitted to say this, I made a comment this past week to one or two. It's just me. I'm just pondering, as we all do. I said, if you could part that spiritual veil, I know I shared this with Sandra. I said, if you could part that spiritual veil right now, and he gave you a look into what's behind that spiritual veil, you think you've got warfare probably going on in the natural, what we see with our eyes. The prophets, remember, asked, what do you see? I can only imagine what we would see if we could see the panorama of what's going on behind that spiritual veil. Is it possible? I'm just throwing this out. This has been on my mind. I said to Sandra and to one or two others this week, I said, is it possible? I said that Michael, the great archangel, who is the protector of Israel, I says, has he maybe been asked by Yahweh and his holy angels that's with him as the protector of Israel, Daniel 12 and other places? Has he maybe been asked to kind of step aside a little bit, even what's going on in this nation? I don't know. And over in Israel, I don't know. I just don't know yet. We're all thinking about a lot of things and pondering and questioning, like Habakkuk, remember? He was perplexed, and he couldn't figure out a God, a Yahweh, Elohim, that you're going to bring. I know we're wicked. I know Judah's wicked. I love my people, Yahweh, but you're telling me now that you're going to bring those fierce Babylonians who are even more wicked than we are as a nation of people. and you're going to destroy us with them? Yahweh said, yes, I am. And he did. We know the story there. But then, the greatest lesson probably that great prophet learned was, you read, the righteous shall live by faith. They will live by faith. And that became the, especially the spiritual motto, you might say, in response of what we call the New Testament era or whatever. The just, the righteous shall live by faith. Every we trust the Father, do we not? We trust Abba that we'll even wake up in the morning, don't we? Are you sure that you'll wake up in the morning? I've known of people in my own life that died in their sleep, okay? It's like Son and I were talking the other day. You know, how many of us maybe when we wake up, we think that we've been allowed and blessed to wake up. We take so many things sometimes for granted. There's so many things a lot of times that we don't think through or think enough about. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, the times we're living in presents a lot of challenges to each of us. But I cannot say enough about the central focus of this message and Pastor Mark's last week, that he has promised, if we will stay with the program, he has promised us that he will equip us with hinds feet, and we will be able to go leaping over the mountaintops, over the rocky places, over the obstacles in our life. You see, the issue is, Hannah Hernard found out, Much Afraid found out, as Pastor Mark said last week, the issue is not per se how many issues might be in your life or problems or obstacles. The issue is, once you have those hind feet, you can traverse all the rocky, stony paths. You can get through all the obstacles in your path, and you will. That's the issue. Robert Schuller wrote the book many years ago, tough times don't last, but tough people do. I remember Robert Schuller in that book saying that he watched his father stand in the doorway of his house, kind of like I alluded to looking at my own corn the other day during the storm coming in. Robert Schuller said he saw his dad standing in the doorway of his house, his knuckles just white, gripping the doorframe because he saw all his beautiful corn and wheat going down in the storm. He says, my dad was tough. He survived it. It's all about having those hinds feet that he gives us to traverse the rocky, stony ground that we're asked to walk. And keep in mind, let me say again, if you haven't already experienced it, and I know that you will have those two companions, one on each side, like Much Afraid did of sorrow and suffering, like I did over the years in some ways of my wife. You will have them. If you haven't already had those two companions with you in a certain way, get ready. I'm not saying this to frighten you or scare you, but it is reality. It's because they are the best teaching companions. No one, pardon me, is worth spiritual spit, pardon my expression, if you haven't been through some suffering. If you can't sit down with someone and commiserate with them in their suffering. If you can't put your arm around someone and console and cry with them, Father's not really ready to use you like you should be used. And I've often said, those prophets get a bad name sometimes, but those who have really not studied their patterns and their hearts, most of all, their hearts have had to be prepared. They loved Judah in those days, ancient Israel. They loved Judah. They loved those northern 10 boys. They loved them. And their hearts bled for them. But beautiful things, the central focal point of this message, beautiful, fantastic things happens when you allow him to take you on a journey to the high place, to the mountaintop, the mountaintop experience. Is it any wonder those three disciples looked at Yeshua and said, oh man, we need to build something. We need to do something special. This is so special. You better believe it is. They saw Moses and Elijah. The way this all ended up in the book, I'll close out with this. You know, I've stated for a while here, you, my brothers and sisters, this congregation, you the treasured ones in this congregation, I've heard these words come out of my mouth both up here and in private conversation. He's long impressed upon me something. And it takes time. And I'll read this. It takes time sometimes for you to recognize what his total will is. But he will give us a word. He has given words to each one of us in here, perhaps in some ways. And there are those of you in here who are waiting on some things right now because you know he gave you a promise. He gave you a word 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a year ago, whenever. Habakkuk the prophet in chapter 2. This is a word that was given to me years ago, as I told you, Sister Tammy, so strongly. And he told me, hold on to it, my son, and believe it. The Lord answered me, Yahweh answered me. Chapter 2, verse 1. Write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets, so one may easily read it. For the vision or the message is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. And then that's when he goes ahead to speak, that the righteous will live by his faith in verse 4. I've said here before, and I stand on it. Pastor Mark and I had a good talk about a week or so ago about some of this stuff. He has this congregation as a unit. Not only those of us as individuals who are different giftings. BJ shared a real good word with me back there during worship about something he's involved with. I says, that's a gift you've been given, BJ. Be obedient and follow through on it. I would say that to each and all of you who's been given a gift. Individually and collectively, this congregation, this assembly, call it what you will, has been in the process of being prepared for years. Goes back to the foundation, Sister Tammy, of your dad and Mark. You know that too, Pastor. He has been taking years to prepare us individually and collectively for something that I believe with all my heart is going to be so stupendous that as this prophet was told, you will be utterly amazed, Habakkuk, when I do it, when I move on this. Yes, Mr. Herman, Brother Herman? Hope you don't mind me sharing this, tell this on. When you told me a week or so ago about, you know, you drug your feet a little bit coming down, am I right on that? Lord, guess what? He wants 100% of the time, doesn't he? You obeyed. Remember Hannah Hernard says, obedience. Whenever I gave in and obeyed what he told me to do, things worked out. Things worked out for the good. I was blessed. We have to be obedient. This congregation, individually and collectively, is being prepared. It's not just any community. It wasn't called out to be. It wasn't intended to be. The Father gets the right to decide who he puts a special favor on. Have you heard of Joseph lately, the special favor put on him? Have you heard? As I told Brother Mark, there was only one Abraham. There was only one Noah. He makes these sovereign decisions. And then understand, it is not about us. It is, and yet it isn't. It's this message up here. As I told him in prayer, sharing very personally, I don't want this message to be about me. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about what he's doing and what he's going to do more importantly. He's in the process of taking his children to the mountaintop to equip us with hinds feet. Because the last thing Hannah shared in that book was the good shepherd, Yeshua, turned and looked at her and says, now I have no one to speak for me down the valley. No one to speak for me. Isaiah chapter 6, I will go send me, the prophet said. He says, Hannah, he's much afraid. I have no one to speak to me. Will you be willing to go back down into the valley where all that sin and all those problems are and speak for me? She says, I will. That is what he is preparing us for. Individual salvation is great, but he's got something bigger in mind. He wants to bring together a unit of people, a group of people that will turn the world upside down. That's what he wants to do. That's the vision that he has for us. And we don't have a choice in it. You do. But it's going to get done. But he's asking us all to join the effort. And that is true. It is true. Through all that we've gone through the last few months, it's a work in progress, even learning Pastor Mark, Sister Tammy, all of us. It is just a progress, a work of progress to learn how to move better as one camp, to work together. As Pastor Mark and I talked recently, you know, when the fivefold ministries really start showing up, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, and the teacher and pastor, we've got to work together. We must not be in each other's faces. We must not be in each other's lanes, impeding the other function. It's about function. It's about respect. That's all it is. And that's going to be accomplished most of all in His love. His love. So He's looking to equip us with feet. Feet on hinds places. So then, why? As that says on the Oneg door, the mission, your mission field is outside those doors. He's going to be sending, He wants to send us individually and collectively out to a hurting world to get this outside of City of Light. It doesn't belong just in Lucedale, the City of Light. And I would say, even this transmission, the network, Harmony Kathy, y'all have so graciously obeyed and brought into here, we know there's a reason for that. It's now going to the nations. Did you not tell me 140 nations? The Father gets His way 100% of the time. So this is a challenge for each of us as I close out. This is a challenge for me because I'm the one giving the message. I have to apply it to myself first. We're being challenged to be that which we might not even be right now. And the only way that can happen is for Him to take us to the mountaintop, to equip us with feet that bring good news, hinds feet on high places. We can traverse all the obstacles and things that get put in our path, and we can overcome, like Much Afraid did, and get new names, get a new destiny, get a new work established, and be used to minister to a hurting state, nation, and nations.